You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. Ready to talk about Diamondbacks, I guess.
Yeah, we're in the home stretch.
We are, man. We're getting there.
You know?
We got a lot of stuff going on. It's getting hard to sit down and record this. You know, you got your the Fantasy Baseball Invitational coming up, and we did our RDI draft. I'm doing a baseball prospectus mock draft right now for prospects, and it's good, exciting times.
It's it's been quite a plethora of activities going on for me, especially, but for you as well. You're doing these prospect minutes with me. You're doing other FWFB pods. You're cranking out all those prospect previews for the draft guide. So
I am.
We're definitely working hard here at Friends of Fantasy Benefits. You're getting a lot of episodes. It'll cool down here soon. So once we get through all these team previews and prospect minutes, we'll be going down to, you know, probably about 5 episodes a week, getting you through to the regular season.
I'd imagine if you're with us now, you're going to finish out the stretch. So congratulations to you. ready for all the position previews and stuff we got coming up after that. And, of course, the draft guide. So there's more if you want to.
Let's jump right into the topic of the day. That is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Matt, who are some guys that we might be able to use soon? Give me the top guy in the system. I know it's not a great system.
It's not a great system. It's probably bottom 5 for me. It's hovering around that area. I'll start with John Duplantier. I believe that's how you pronounce it. You got the French background on this. Does that look right?
Sounds about right.
I've seen him pitch twice live. And I came away very impressed with what I saw. I was familiar with him when he went to college at Rice. If you know the reputation of Rice and pitchers in college, it's not a great one. A lot of people come out of there. The injury lists are prevalent. And Duplantier was a guy, he had shoulder issues while he was at Rice. You know, you wonder whether that's now becoming a coincidence. I think at one point it was kind of neglectful, and now it might be a coincidence as a new regime and stuff takes over and stuff from schools like that. But I like Duplantier because I think he, number one, I like the frame, 6'4", 210. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that for a pitching prospect. That's 6'4" is kind of like one of the imaginary line, because when you get certain, you know, 6'8 and 6'6 and stuff like that, sometimes it's hard to control all your limbs and you know, get timing, because timing is everything when you're pitching. And just ask Tyler Glasnow about timing and repeating the mechanics and throwing strikes, because they're all correlated. And Duplantier has that smooth athletic delivery, 6'4", 210. I think for fantasy, he's going to be a little bit of a underrated asset than he is for real life. For real life, I think he's easily a top 100 prospect. For fantasy, I'm not so sure, only because while he has posted huge strikeout numbers in his minor league career, I don't know if those will translate. But I love him a lot. He lives in the lower half of the zone, being 6'4". Can imagine the downward plane that has, being 6'4 and throwing down in the zone primarily. So he gets a lot of ground balls, right in the top of it, beating it into the ground a lot. Two-seam fastball is what he features as his number one pitch. Throws a nice curveball and a good changeup. Has a slider as well. Supposedly there's a little bit of deception in his delivery. He hides the ball a lot, real long arms, so he's probably able to keep it hidden for a little bit. Absolutely destroyed Midwest League. That's where I saw him. 72.2 innings. Struck out 9.7 per 9. Walked under 2. Had a 1.24 ERA. Opponents hit 171 off of him. Went up to high A in the Cal League over 63 innings. He struck out 12 per 9, walked just under 4, so the walks took a significant jump up. 1.56 ERA, and opponents hit 195 off of him. So he's nasty in every sense of the way. Could be a upper-tier closer, I think, if they wanted to go that route with him. But Diamondbacks need starting pitching prospects, and I like Duplantier a lot, and he's kind of a guy I'm planting my flag on for stuff I've seen and trusting my eyes and my evaluation. And I like Duplantier long term. I just, like I said, I think he's probably a better real life asset because I don't know where the strikeouts will sit. If I had to project it now, though, I'd say a strikeout an inning, and with a high ground ball tail, that's pretty good. So you'll take something like that. Number two guy in the system for me, I'm in the minority here, is Marcus Wilson. Again, I saw him in King County, so maybe I'm just biased, but 295, 383, 446 line with 9 homers and 15 stolen bases. With a second-round pick, 21 years old, 6'3", 175, athletic as hell, 77% contact rate, which is a significant jump, and it's easily a career high by about 8-9% over what he's done in the past. 13% walk rate, so he's still strong. Very good defender in center field, gets quick routes, pretty much moving before the batter hits the ball because he pays attention to where the pit setup is and stuff. I was sitting behind home plate and stuff like that trying to get a view, and he's a very good player. Really fast. Swing is long, and there's a couple moving parts to it that he can probably cut out a few and keep it simple, stupid, that method, minimalize it a little bit because he's got long arms and long legs. Sometimes he gets out of whack, but I like him a lot as a potential well-rounded fantasy player. I think he can probably hit 275 and be a 15-15 guy, and he's going for nothing in these drafts right now. You can get him for fairly cheap. He's going to grow into the frame. I like him a lot, and anytime you can get a player with good offensive skills going to Arizona, you got to uptick him a little bit. Pevin Smith is the third guy for me. He's got the University of Virginia, which is, not necessarily the best thing for hitters, but 95% contact rate in the ACC. I'll repeat that, 95% contact rate, which is amazing. Probably no better feel for hitting, no better approach combination in the minor leagues and in the draft this year. Sorry, in the draft this year, in the first two rounds of the draft for sure. More walks than strikeouts in his pro debut. Also had obviously in college, he barely struck out. He didn't strike out until the second half of the season at all in college. Imagine that as a hitter in the ACC, not striking out. The big red flag for me, though, he had trouble with wood bats adjusting for power. And as a first base only prospect, they think the Diamondbacks are going to mess with them in the outfield a little bit because they have Goldschmidt. So they're going to have to have Pevin Smith's going to have to play some outfield for them. But I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. Ultimately, I think he probably will, but he won't be a great one. And he comps to like a Brandon Belt long term because I think he's got 20 so home run power, but he hasn't showed that at all. Good walk rates, makes a high contact rate. Probably not a really good fantasy resource, but it's a good player in the sense that he should move fairly quickly. He just has to tap into the power of the swing. The swing's not really geared for it. He goes the other way a lot, but he's young enough. He's 22 years old. You can make an adjustment. He's athletic enough as a hitter anyways. Hand-eye coordination superior enough where he could probably make a few changes and get away with it. Drew Ellis, another college bat out of second-round pick out of the University of Louisville. He was the best hitter on that Louisville team last year, which is saying something because Brendan McKay was there. 355, 448, 701 slugging percentage in the ACC. I wonder if they scouted the ACC heavy with Pevin Smith and Drew Ellis. But 20 homers in college, went down to went out to the Northwest League after getting drafted, hit 8 home runs there in 181 at-bats at 8 home runs, 75% contact rate, 12% walk rate, so he's too advanced for that level, 227, 327, 403. Stat line's not great. He's probably going to be limited hitting for average. Might have to move to first base because he doesn't have a quick first step. 6'2", 192. I think he's bigger. He looks bigger than 192 to me. Right-handed hitter, obviously. Right-handed thrower. Mostly power is the name of the game here. He's got some hit tool. Maybe average. Probably more likely below average. But I would bump it up to average at least because he does take walks. But he's just hit. He's the swing is conductive to hitting the ball in the air. That's what he does, and that's a good thing for fantasy. It's a good thing to be out in Arizona. But the minor league numbers might not be pretty just because of that. But if he gets to the majors with the new ball and everything we got and stuff like that. I think he's a guy that could pop up and could hit 30 home runs. But Drew Ellis is an interesting name to follow there. Another guy that I saw in Kane County, Jazrado Chisholm, 20 years old. He goes by Jazz, 5'11", 165, real small guy. He kind of disappeared for a while because he had a groin injury, I guess it was, and he wasn't on any injury list or nothing. They sent him out to extended spring training and let him rehab for so he missed a significant portion of the year. Only had 109 at-bats in low A, 248, 325, 358, 8 doubles, 64% contact rate, so he kind of fits in the Milwaukee system with the contact rate. One homer, 3 steals. He's an explosive athlete. Could play shortstop for now. Might have to move off the position and play outfield. But he's a guy that potentially could be – I think he could stick it short. Just going to be patient. He could hit 20 home runs from the shortstop position, which is still nice. I don't know how much average he's going to give you. But he could be with 20 homers, 10 stolen bases at shortstop is pretty good. Even if you had 250, that'll still play. Let's see who else we got here. Anthony Banda is major league ready as far as he's got nothing left to prove in the minors. PCL, he had a very nice 75 inning sample in 2016. In 2017, he got beat up a little bit, but the rate stats were the same. Just a little shows you how much a little bit of batted ball luck can shoot the ERA up a point and a half, and that's what happened in the PCL with Banda. The numbers, the peripherals are identical. 6'3", 175. 24 years old, 10th round pick out of Juco Junior College. So he's in the mix for the fifth starter job out of spring training. Throws a low 90s from the left side. Curveball is the best off speed pitch, which is troublesome in Arizona like that. But the humidor coming through, he could be a big benefactor of that. So it's his out pitch, the curveball. Gets swings and misses on it. He throws a changeup, which isn't great. Upside isn't really high here. He's kind of a high floor guy, and a high floor guy in an offensive yard like Arizona probably isn't all that fantasy viable. But he's a guy to know. Jose Almonte is a nice arm to track as well. Got him from the Red Sox. I think besides Duplantier, Almonte is the second highest upside pitcher in the rotation. Huge strikeout numbers. And that's what he's going to hang his hat on. Mid-90s fastball with significant movement. Really good curveball. He leans on that heavily. Good changeup. Just needs to work on the command and the control, but he's 22 years old. He's got some time to do that. 2013 free agent from Dominican Republic. The Red Sox grabbed him. So he's an interesting guy to follow. He's with a flyer. In NL-only formats, if you roster 100 or so prospects, he might make that cut, but he's highly volatile. He could be a reliever. Cody Reed, not that one, but the other Cody Reed, also left-handed pitcher, 6'3", 245, has a massive frame. Split his time between two levels of A ball this year, and it was good. Over a strikeout per inning, kept the walks below three per nine. Over a strikeout an inning, big fastball slider guy. Developing a changeup, and the body is as mature as it's going to get. He's actually going to have to worry about that. He might get a little bit, keep it in check at 6'3", 245. But from the left side, he throws hard. And I think he's got a nice breaking ball changeup mix. I think they're both going to take a step forward. Cody Reed is a nice rotation option for this guy's in the future. Matt Tabor was a third-round pick in 2017 from the Northeast, so he's going to take a little bit for him to fully develop. A cold-weather arm, 6'2", 160, so he's got a significant projection on the frame. Can get up to 95 with the fastball. Has a big slow curveball, has a slider, has a changeup. He's a guy, he's a lotto ticket at this sense of every sense of the word right now. Massive strikeout totals in his four innings and 17 strikeouts per game in his four-inning sample in rookie ball. Don't take anything out of that, but that's just interesting. It shows you the stuff he's got for his age. Just needs to harness it. Jared Miller and Jimmy Scherfe are two relievers that might play a significant role, two high strikeout relievers. Scherfe was in the majors a little bit last year, 10-inning sample. Jared Miller looks like Kenny Powers from the left side, mullet and all that stuff. Dominant strikeout stuff for both these two guys. I would say they're in the closer mix, but I think it's going to be Hirano, who's also should be probably in this list, I guess, is the Hirano, the guy they got from Japan. I think he's going to be the closer. I think they're going to use Archie Bradley more in the fireman role just to keep his arbitration prices down, which is the worst thing about baseball. I don't think they want to give him the big save numbers. Maybe they'll give it to him down the stretch as they start, making their postseason run, but I don't think they're going to let Archie Bradley get a full season of saves. I like Bradley as a, you know, 2-3 inning dominant reliever, and I think Hirano, coming over from Japan, can pitch the ninth there very successfully. Dalton Varsho, left-handed hitting catcher named after Darren Dalton out of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So it's interesting baseball hotbed. 362, 490, 643 in the Horizon League in college. 11 homers and 10 stolen bases. In the Northwest League, 311, 368, 534. 84% contact rate for a 21-year-old catcher. 7 homers and 7 speeds. 7 speeds, 7 steals. God, I've been doing this too much. 7 speeds. The thing with Varsho that I know we don't roster catching prospects very much, but if you're going to take a shot on a guy, this is my number, like, 4 prospect in this system. So this is a guy I would take a shot on, an offensive catcher who should move decently quick because I think the defensive skills are good. He's a good receiver. He needs to work on the throwing arm, which isn't that strong, but you can fix that. I like him, but again, you know, you have all the caveats of him being a catching prospect. So Dalton Varsho is a nice option for me. Taylor Clark is probably a good back end starter, low 90s fastball, good slider, nice changeup, pumps strikes. He's behind Duplantier as far as stuff and command and polish go, but he can be probably a 4 or 5 starter for fantasy, probably a 5 or 6 starter for fantasy, 4 or 5 for Arizona. Bad ballpark, but he has good command, so he should be able to get it done. Domingo Labo's utility profile, good hit tool, not a lot of speed, not a lot of power. I had a shoulder injury, had to move off shortstop. In my opinion, he's going to move off shortstop because he's getting a little bit too big. Probably has to play third base, loses his value there. Another nice catcher that I like, Andy Yerzy, Canadian kid, compensation round in 2016. 298, 365, 524, 13 homers and 225 bats in the Pioneer League. Premium defensive skills, threw out 28% of runners in that league. Very bad behind the plate as far as defensively. A lot of pass balls, makes a lot of errors behind the plate. Not sure if he ever hits enough. If he has to move to first base, the bat will play, in my opinion, will play at first. But that's not an ideal outcome for Yerzy. If he can stick behind the plate, that's better for him. Eduardo Diaz, Venezuelan kid, 312, 357, 510 in the Pioneer League with 11 steals. Power speed mix, obviously plate discipline and contact issues, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. He's only 20 years old. Going to be up to full season ball this year, so that'll test him out there. Gabriel Maicel, Brazilian kid, 70 speed on the scale, athletic switch hitter, 5'10", 170, so not a lot of power. Better hit tool than Diaz does, 323, 389, 438 in the Pioneer League. He's 24 walks and 34 strikeouts, so the plate skills, him and Diaz are like the exact opposite kind of guys, and they're good to compare and contrast with each other. Probably be next to each other in the outfield as they move up the level. So Yoan Lopez is a $8 million Cuban arm they signed in 2015. Dave Stewart blew his international budget on Yoan Lopez, signed him, not knowing the ramifications that came with it. He had to sit out the international market for the next 2 seasons. Didn't know the rules. Signed him anyways. Flopped as a starting pitcher. He actually retired in 2016 because he didn't want to go to the bullpen. So for whatever reason, they convinced him to come back and pitch. 56 strikeouts, 9 walks, and 31 innings in high A. Only 16 hits allowed. Upper 90s fastball with a nasty slider. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in Arizona this season, just because, you know, the big bonus attached to it. And if he's going to reliever, you can fast track him. And he's a dark horse for saves because that stuff is ridiculous. Christian Walker, kind of a triple quad A guy, 309, 382, 597 with 32 homers in AAA this in 2017. Kind of bounced around with the Orioles. And he was on that College World Series winning team in South Carolina. Blocked by Goldschmidt, messing around with him in the outfield a little bit. I like the bat. I just don't know if the defense is good enough to play him out there. Socrates Brito is still a prospect, age 25 years old, 291, 336, 449 line in AAA. Dealt with a lot of wrist and hand injuries. I think he can hit 15 homers. I think he can steal 15 bags. And then anybody in this ballpark with an offensive pulse is viable. But I like the system the Diamondbacks have. It's a little bit... Well, you know, they got Buddy Kennedy, too. I like him. He's Mike Trout's buddy. Play on words there. Mike Trout's workout friend out in New Jersey. Similar traits as Mike Trout down to having no neck. He's got that down. But Buddy Kennedy is a nice late-round flyer. They picked him up in the draft this year, the third round. He's a third baseman. Wei-Chi Wang is a reliever that should be up this year, a good changeup. Frank Duncan's a nice reliever that they can turn to this year. Sam McWilliams throws hard, doesn't know where it's going. Bo Takahashi's a good reliever. There's a lot of arms in this system that I don't mind, but a lot of them are reliever, and you know, you're not going to roster a lot of reliever arms in fantasy. But Diamondback system is a better real-life system than fantasy, and there's a couple of bats I'm gambling on, and Duplantier is pretty much the only arm as far as a starter. There's a lot of relievers I like in the system, but again, you know, you can't do much with that.
All right, that'll wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWF. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.